This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the No Nay Never podcast. I am your host, Natalie Bromley. Do not adjust your television sets or your microphones. I am here. I've been skiving for a couple of weeks, so my thanks go to the team at No Nay Never for filling in my absence. But I am back at the helm, and this week we are looking back at that hard-fought point at home against Wolves on Tuesday. What does that mean for Burnley's survival hopes? And we look ahead to a crunch game at the bottom of the table against Everton. I am joined by regular analyst and FPL expert Adam Dennett, and of course the main man himself, the absolute creator of the previous show and the oracle of all things Cloud and Blue. It's Dave Statman Roberts. So let's put our hats on, buckle up, and let's go. Gentlemen, welcome. How did you call Dave? How was the previous show without me? I'm sorry, I've been skiving a couple of episodes. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I've forgotten what you look like. Sounded like for those listening. Yeah, me and Tom got by. Tom and Adam and everyone chipping in, and
you did more than get by. I listened to the episodes; they were very good. So don't be giving me that. I had to come back this week. I was worried I was going to be booted off and out of a job. God, I'm getting tied up in my headphones here. I was worried I was going to get booted off and have no job left. I had to come back and protect my position. Otherwise, I'd have been gone. Yes, thank you, both of you. Adam, how are you?
Yeah, good. I think I don't want to throw a spanner in the works, but I think we've been unbeaten in the preview shows that you've missed.
I know. So when we lose the weekend, that and compared to a spectacular performance by my colleagues, I feel like I might be out of a job on Monday. So Absolutely. Listeners, it's been a good run. We've had 13 years, so, you know, of my dulcet tones on the No Nay Never preview show. It's been great knowing you all. Adam, let's come to you first. We've got quite a lot to cover in this week's show, but I'm going to drive right into that crunch game at Turf Moor on Tuesday night. Some unexpected results for us last weekend. A very hard-fought point away at Chelsea. And suddenly we found ourselves staring at what would possibly be one of the greatest escapes in Premier League history. Suddenly 4 points behind and looking like, if results went our way, we could have finished the game on Tuesday night with just 1 point clear of safety. Wasn't meant to be. Results didn't go our way. Forest, particularly Chris Wood, the pesky little things, decided to do a very good win. Everton had a late equaliser, and we failed to beat Wolves at home. So it all felt a little bit deflated. Did it feel to you at the end of the game that was a bit, that's it? I know the players were on the floor, but I very much put that down to a very hard fought performance rather than any dejected views. How did you feel firstly at the end of that game?
Yeah, I think you couldn't help but feel slightly disappointed and a bit of an opportunity missed. Disappointment in the main, but only because of the positive result at Chelsea. And you felt like we were really gaining some momentum and there were a real chance to get ourselves well back in the hunt on Tuesday. I still think we at least are becoming, we have become a lot more competitive.
Yes.
2 weeks, which was again on show on Tuesday night and another night, we could have got all 3 points, but I think Wolves were good value for the draw at the end. Shame we couldn't have capitalised, but we're still in a lot better position than we were after those Arsenal and Palace games. So still some room for optimism.
Yeah, I think that's true. I guess let's start with that then, because the one, well, there's two constants that have been in play since we had that four-game unbeaten run, one of which is the reintroduction of Josh Cullum in midfield, who seems to have very much put those poor performances at the beginning of the season to one side and is back to the player we knew and loved from last season. We've been beating this drum for a long time now on the Known and Ever podcast, but just, I'm so frustrated, Adam, about what could have been this season if Vincent Kompany had put Muric in a long time ago. Because again, he was spectacular. And some of those passes that he was making were absolutely outrageous from any keeper of any level.
They were. He's made such a difference. And like you said, again, it's just a feeling of frustration that we haven't got to, giving ourselves a lot better chance with him coming in when he should have done in probably September, October, even November.
Yeah.
But it's great to have him back. Gets the heart pumping at times, but I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't.
At least
change
two or three
it,
times. Again.
I really appreciate it. Now he's been out of the side for a while, but yeah, he does make such a difference. We look so much more confident, and we just really we look so much more dangerous. Even our goal of the night came from Muric playing to O'Shea, yeah. Cross the ball in, and he's just playing out so much better, so much quicker, and with so much more quality from the back. It's night and day from where we were.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's just what might have been.
What might have been. I think that's where I was most frustrated at, don't you think, Dave? I think it's a hard league anyway, and to not give yourself the best possible chance that you can have. I don't know how you would have done this, but at the end of the day, Kompany has got every right at the beginning of the season to decide that he doesn't think that Muric is a Premier League goalkeeper. Maybe there was a few rumours of some disciplinary issues. Maybe there was that concerned. Maybe he was just worried generally. He's well within his rights to bring in another player. But after five games, it was blatantly obvious that James Trafford wasn't in that position. So why would you have put, just like, why would you have done this? Just like swap around and say, right, okay, Muric, you've got now five games. Let's see what you can do. And then assess them rather than wait until nine games before the end of the season. Is that naive, do you think, on my part? Is it that simple?
I'm not 100% sure on that. I think it's one of those that with hindsight, yeah, it's the decision. I think he would maybe be kicking himself saying that that's the case. But when you're kind of in there week after week and it's,
yeah.
He sees the players in training, don't forget. That's the other thing that we don't see. We kind of get there, turn up at 3 o'clock on a Saturday and or 2 o'clock when the team's announced and that's what we see. Whereas obviously the manager's seeing the players week in, week out. But yeah, from the outside looking in, it did look like a strange one. And we are beginning to see the fruits of it. Whether that would have been the case earlier in the season, I don't know. It's a case of the players come in now, he's really got the bit between his teeth and is taking that chance. And let's hope that continues. Obviously, we've got some important games coming up, obviously starting with Saturday. And they'd be coming. It's all very well saying we're unbeaten for four.
Are you going to say it, Dave? Are they? What are
we going to
say?
Getting to the point where, yeah, Saturday's pretty much getting towards a must-win, isn't it?
13 years of the podcast and we've finally got Dave to admit there's a must-win game. Adam, I think to me, one of the things that Muric brings to the side is that leader that we've been missing and we've been talking about for a long time. It's been a side that's been quite introverted and quite shy and quite, not quite sure of itself. It's a young, inexperienced side. And whilst Muric is hardly a veteran himself, he seems to lead from by example. And I saw so many players who've been quiet so far, really like trying to get the team up. Vitinho was, we'll talk about him in a minute, but he was trying to get the crowd going. And Muric just brings an air of authority, I think, to the game. Could he be a captain almost in that perspective?
Yeah, we are lacking leadership. We've said it all season, haven't we? And yeah, it's not just his passing out from the back. I think some of the saves he's made since he's come back in have been fantastic as well. We maybe didn't see that as much last year when we've had so much control in games. But yeah, the chest pumping when he's making those saves, you can see the players just look so much more up for it. And we say it won't all be down to just Muric coming to the side, but obviously the performance levels of everyone just seems to have been lifted by him coming back in, and the confidence of the defence. Yeah, it's definitely having effects on the rest of the players, because it does exude confidence with, like, any time he plays. Doesn't matter if we're playing well, not playing well, he will still do what Muric does regardless. And yeah, it breeds confidence when it's going well. Obviously, I had his criticisms at points last season, but yeah, at the moment, it's let's just ride that train and hope we can carry it on into Saturday and get, yeah, a must win.
Yeah, definitely. I feel better facing Everton at the weekend with Muric in the nets rather than we did last time. It was a pretty poor performance when we were at home against them. So fingers crossed for something a little bit stronger. Adam, let's stick throughout the team then before we come on to the goal, particularly the equaliser, which is still irritating me to this moment. Another player who seems to have had a real revival under the past few games is Vitinho. Been playing in midfield for us for a while, which is a role that he's been relishing, and he's been pushed back to right back this week with Asignon serving out his suspension for that ridiculous sending off against Chelsea. I thought he was an absolute engine. That boy can run forever. Like, I've never seen such pace on him. What do you think has given him that extra lift? Because he's another player at the beginning of the season has been criticised for being out of his depth, maybe, if we say.
Yeah, his confidence just seems through the roof at the moment. And
unwavering, so.
Yeah, he was, like, given a bit more licence, maybe a bit further forward initially, but I think he's obviously shown his adaptability and flexibility the last few weeks. He's played right wing, left back, right at Chelsea, right back the other night. And like you said, he's just been fantastic. He's got a mistake in him, which he always has done. Like, when he's made up for his errors on some occasions, but at least he has done that. And yeah, you can't hit another one that it's just infectious. I really enjoy watching him at the moment because he is just everywhere, and it is the energy again that we've missed for so much of the season.
Yeah,
joy to watch. He, like you said before, getting the crowd up for it when we're getting a.
He did that a few times, didn't he? Yeah, he did. Yeah, and there was, I can't remember which one it was. Do you remember it came out of nowhere when he tracked back and took the ball off one of the Wolves forwards. I can't remember who it was. I was just like, where has he come from? And he just did it. It wasn't the slickest. And he just literally just took the ball off the Wolves player, just did enough to make him second guess where it was. And then I think maybe Taylor came in and took the ball and moved. And it was near the cricket field end. And I just thought, you know what? It was between him and Sander Berge for me for man of the match on Tuesday. It was very close. I went for Berge in the end, but it was very close.
Yeah, it's fine margin, really, because, like, I think I've been on here and criticised Vitinho before when he's lunged in given penalties away against Chelsea and Palace this season. But again, his confidence looks through the roof at the moment, and things are going his way. It's nice to have someone on that form who looks confident, and he just seems to be really enjoying his football. Did an interview after the game the other day and just seems to be really enjoying his football. His English is so much, well, it's come on a lot. Apparently he couldn't speak English when he came over last season. So he's really, really got stuck in. I saw one person say that, so maybe that isn't the case. But
is the extent of our research on the Northern Never podcast. If somebody says it on Twitter, we take it through and we report on it. So there you go.
joy to watch at the moment.
Good. Dave, you're going to kick us off with this one because I know both of us tweeted our disappointment to this. I think we both tweeted the same video as well. Posted, whatever, it's not tweeted anymore, is it? Posted. Second game running. Absolutely abysmal refereeing decision. That free kick that led to the Wolves goal. What on earth? How could anybody with normal eyesight see that and give it as a free kick? We all knew in the stadium that it wasn't. It was right in front of us where I sat. We were all on our feet screaming that it wasn't. Yes, we need to defend free kicks better, but my goodness, what an appalling decision.
It was embarrassing, wasn't it? Yeah, the referee was in a fantastic position, really, to be fair. Tim is only sort of 5-6 yards away. Quite how he's got that wrong, I don't know. And then obviously the free kicks come in. You're right, we haven't defended it. And disappointing just before half-time to concede. What was odd was the fact that there seemed to be a bit of deliberation. They went to kick off, and the referee kind of stopped it. And then we were wondering what was going on for a minute or so, there was some suggestion that were the VARs looking at it to say whether it was the free kick. We'd love to hear the audio of that if the PGMOL can be.
Is that something that they can have a look at? I don't think there was something they could look at. I don't think it is.
Discussion, I don't know.
I think they were. I think they were more looking at a possible offside, I think, rather than anything else. I don't think, was there? No, I don't know what they were looking at, but I don't. Yeah, well, it was a very quick VAR review, so I think that might be it. But I don't, as far as I'm aware, they don't have the ability to look back at something like that. That's a free kick that leads to a goal. I think that's down to. I'd be interested to see if we ever get any apologies from the Referees Association for these things. I suspect not.
We get a letter every week, don't we?
Well, yeah, just pre-printed. Drives me mad. But Adam, aside from that, and yes, we have been on the receiving end of some pretty poor decisions recently. But my gosh, that defender, just when I think we're getting a little bit stronger, the defending for that free kick, I mean, just what is going on?
Yeah, we quite often look like vulnerable from set pieces, and obviously we've conceded a lot of goals from set pieces, but it's not like it was overpowering or a good bit of movement. It's just like wandered into acres of space and nodded it into the corner. And I know we've been singing his praises. Mjuic's positioning maybe slightly.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Slightly off. He's taken a step as if to come out and get it because he has been coming and gobbling up everything at the moment, and it's left that side of the goal exposed. But it was right in the corner. It might not have got there anyway, but it just meant that he got nowhere near it. But yeah, really, really disappointing all around to concede that goal. But like you just suggested, it should never have been the case. And I think we just about edged the first half and would have been really big to go in at 1-0. We've conceded so many goals just before half time this season, which might be some kind of mental block as well. But yeah, really, really disappointing.
Is it over for you, Adam? Is it still?
No, not yet. I think this weekend's massive, like Dave's alluded to. If we do get the win this weekend, which I'm sure we'll come on to in the preview show, then I think we are still in with a decent chance with the points we've put on the board in the last few weeks. And but yeah, not over for me. I'm still a lot more positive than I was a few weeks ago. If you had to ask me one way or the other, I'd say we're more likely to go down than stay up. But we do have a chance, and this weekend's massive.
Yeah. I think the current stats are suggesting that it's a 93% chance that we get relegated. Now, I'm a poker player, for those people who don't already know that. The amount of times where somebody's got 7% me on the river card and it comes. So you never know. It could happen.
We need a meme here. We need a meme to say, so you're telling me there's a chance?
There are many. Dumb and Dumber. One of the greatest films ever made. So you're saying there's a chance. Right, I need to find that and insert that into the YouTube version of this podcast. Thanks for that, Dave. Very good.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Where was I going to go with that? Dave, just remind, I was thinking about this today. Remind me again, Everton still potentially have another points deduction, right?
There was a hearing last week. There was some suggestion that it might be announced this week. It obviously still could. That would be, I think, a blow. Well, it could be a blow if they have got another points deduction. And it happens and announced on Friday before the game. And then that gives them a boost. Although last time it happened, they played Man United.
They went on a ridiculous run after they got that last points deduction. And like, I think within about three games, it was completely swallowed up. So let's not get too excited about points deductions. Maybe get it next week. Forest are done though, right? There's nothing else for them. It's just Everton now.
Well, they've appealed, haven't they, their points deduction. But I think they got 2 points credit for the process anyway.
Seems silly. Okay. Good stuff. Let's wrap that up there. Anything else you wanted to add other than the game and the summary, Adam, or are you done?
No, I think that pretty much covers it.
Yeah, we haven't talked about is the drama in the James Hargreaves. No. We all
ended up
Jimmy Mack. Yeah. That all. Piece of roof falling off. So if any of our listeners were in that section that got evacuated, we'd love to hear from you. What happened? Definitely distracted me from the game for a little while. There's something about Tuesday night games under the lights and drama with roof, whether it's parachutists dropping on them or bits falling off them. We've got enough roof stories at Turf Moor. We don't need any more. Okay, listeners, that's it. That's our summary of the Chelsea game. So we're going to have a very quick break and we're going to move on to previewing the Everton show.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So moving on to the second half of this week's preview show, and we are looking ahead to a very important away tie at Everton this weekend. We've already discussed this in the first part of the preview show when we were looking back at that Wolves game. But this is a crunch game if Burnley have got any hopes of trying to survive this season. Dave has already said at the top of the show that this is now in must-win territory, which is something we don't get him to admit very often. We're going to talk about the game shortly, but first we're going to hand over to Statman Dave, who is our expert in these fields, and he's going to kick us off with his match results summary. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, other than four matches that were played at Anfield, which was the home of this weekend's opponents before the formation of their rivals, Liverpool FC, in 1892... all of our remaining 53 away trips to face Everton in the league have been at Goodison Park. The only time we've faced the Toffees in the league outside the top flight, that was in the 1930-31 season. All the rest have been top flight matches. Burnley have accumulated 10 away wins, as well as 14 draws, which means we've suffered defeat in 33 of our previous away visits. The goal tallies stand at 66 to the Clarets and 110 to our hosts. Eight previous Premier League away trips to Goodison Park have yet to produce a draw. Everton have been the victors on six occasions, with Burnley picking up two wins. And we'll keep you in suspense to discover which of those two victories will get the one to remember treatment when we come to the next section of the preview show.
Well, that next section of the preview show is our one to remember and one to forget feature. It's basically this season's version of memorable match. We call it this because we look at two very contrasting games. So, Dave, why don't you take us away with this, starting with the one to forget, please, after you've teased us.
Although we've suffered some heavier defeats at Goodison Park over the years, one of the most disappointing losses in recent times was in April 2015. We hadn't had the best of seasons in our first Premier League campaign with Sean Dyche in charge, but there was still hope as it was extremely tight towards the bottom of the table. A victory in this match would have lifted us out of the bottom three, but it wasn't to be on this occasion. Although Tom Heaton managed to save an 11th-minute penalty from Ross Barkley after David Jones had fouled Aaron Lennon, the home side took the lead just before the half-hour mark through Kevin Morales, who managed to prod a shot past Tom Heaton at the second attempt. And then just before half-time, referee Mike Jones showed a second yellow card to Ashley Barnes for a foul on Seamus Coleman, meaning we would face an uphill battle with only 10 men for the whole of the second half. Despite our best attempts to get back into the game, there was no further score and our hopes of survival took another step backwards, and the season ended with us making a swift return back to the Championship.
Boo. Okay, what's match two? What's the better one?
Okay, more positive news. With two recent victories to choose from, we've opted to select the 2-1 win from March 2021, which numbers were there anyway. That was a behind-closed-doors match in which Chris Wood and Dwight McNeil scored our goals in the first half. And instead, we're going to take you back to the 1st of October 2017. After only picking up 7 points away from home in the whole of the previous season, we surpassed that total and stayed unbeaten on our travels with a memorable 1-0 win at Goodison Park. To add to the opening day win at Champions Chelsea, and a couple of creditable draws at Spurs and Liverpool. The Sky Sports cameras were at Goodison Park on the Sunday afternoon to see Sean Dyche pitting his wits against Ronald Koeman, who'd helped Everton to European qualification during his first season at the club. Well, the Clarets came out on top thanks to a move that wouldn't have looked out of place in a Champions League match. The flowing 24-pass move was eventually finished off by Jeff Hendrick in the 21st minute, and we kept out the home side at the other end to earn another very valuable 3 points, and this also moved us up to sixth place in the table. The Burnley Express headline was, "Toffees left in a sticky situation. Burnley became Barca at Goodison Park." Koeman was sacked later that month, and as we know, Burnley went on to finish the season in seventh place to ensure our own European qualification.
Excellent stuff. What a great reminiscence in there. I love it. Not often that you hear Burnley talked about in Barca terms, but Dave will manage to shoehorn that in anyone. Okay, not my favourite topic of conversation at the moment, young Dave, but which Egypt's going to be in the middle referee in the game this week, and what minute is he going to make his first howler on?
39-year-old Michael Oliver of Ashington has been tasked with taking charge of this vital match on Saturday. He's refereed 26 previous Burnley matches, and although we've won 8 of those, not too bad overall, we only have 2 victories in the last 15. That's covering the period since December 2017. The only time he's been in charge for one of our matches so far this season, that was the 3-1 defeat at Arsenal. As well as dismissing 3 Burnley players in previous matches, they were Chris Eagles, Michael Duff and Jeff Hendrick. A couple of opposition players have also been sent off, and both were in matches we went on to lose. They were Harry Maguire when he was at Leicester City, and then Arsenal's Fabio Vieira in the match from earlier this season. However, Michael Oliver has shown more yellow cards to our opponents, 40, compared with 36 shown to Burnley players. He's also refereed one of our previous matches against Everton. That was not a good omen. That was Turf Moor on Boxing Day 2018, when the visitors ran riot and won 5-1. Not that any of the blame can be attributed to the officials for that one. David Coote will be the video assistant referee on Saturday, and he really needs to perform significantly better than his colleagues John Brooks and Chris Kavanagh, who were the last two VARs for the last two Burnley matches.
Yeah, no, I've got no time for the moment. Adam, give us some good news. I was a bit down in the dumps when I came off on Tuesday night, and I did tweet this out. I did feel like we were maybe done. It did feel to me like the end of the road on Tuesday night. You're more optimistic than you, so I'm going to let you take the lead on this. What are we going to do? What are we going to do team-wise? What are we going to do performance-wise? How do we approach it differently away this time? Everton, very much in need of a win. They've not won at all this year, if I remember seeing that rightly, Dave. I don't think they've won this year, have they?
Is that right? They're 13 without a win, aren't they? Yeah.
So
last time they won, we were at 10th more.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Well, we are usually quite accommodating with some of these teams when they need to break certain results for us. So kick us off. How are you feeling about this game? Talk us through all your thoughts.
There's not much to be optimistic about if you look at those two games that we've played them this season in isolation. I were at Goodison Park earlier this season for the cup game, and yeah, there were a few changes on both sides. Muric actually played for us that night, but he didn't make much of a difference. They pretty much bullied us from start to finish. Tarkowski scored, and they scored another goal from a set piece in the second half, and I think we had our only shot on target in injury time right at the end. It were really an abysmal display, but and then the league game as well, at home. I don't think we can have any arguments. And once again, it was very predictable the way that they scored the goals. They put a lot of pressure on us out the pitch. We shot ourselves in the foot and conceded set-piece goal again. I'm hoping, because both times we've played them earlier this season, they've been on a bit of a purple patch and on a good run and had some form of momentum, whereas this time it feels... And like the other way around, with 4 games unbeaten, we've not had that all season. They're on this horrific run. Pressure will start to play on them. I think Dave were right earlier. If I'd rather them not get the points deduction this side of the game to get the crowd up. I'm sure the crowd will be up because they'll understand it's a very big game for them as well. But I think they're going to be coming into it with a lot more insecurities than they did in the previous two meetings. We have looked a lot better defensively recently. Hopefully we've learnt some lessons. Company has shown signs of learning the last few weeks after we've criticised him quite a lot of the season for not doing. And we've got two recent games against them where we've got a lot to learn from, and hopefully we can do that now. I'm not sure what I wouldn't want to see what he did the other night with Foster playing on the wing and Odebear in the centre. That didn't really seem to. I don't think they played badly in a way, but you just
didn't
know
really work, did it?
They've got much more. I were expecting Foster and Fofana to be in the 9 and 10 positions.
Yeah, they were
Odebear and Larson to be on the wing. Hopefully we might stick with the same, because obviously it wasn't a defeat the other night, but I'd like to see us probably still start them too. Fofana probably needs hooking a bit earlier if he puts in a similar performance. He really didn't have a good night, but he's been mainly positive and a shining light since he's come in, so I don't want to be too critical of him.
I'm presuming Asignon's going to come straight back in, and he'll play Vitinho back up in midfield again this time.
Yeah,
potentially. Probably drop Odebear, maybe.
Yeah, it's a good shout. It'd be interesting to see who does drop out if he does.
JBL was fantastic. Like, I wouldn't drop him.
No, he's been doing well recently. Got a couple of goals, but it might be one of Fofana and Foster that drop to the bench and move Vitinho forward again, because like we said earlier, I don't think we can drop him. But I think the other players pick themselves were going to be the back four. Like you said, it'll be Asignon coming in. Esteban O'Shea have done really well recently. Cullen and Berge have looked the best that we've looked in central midfield.
They are our strongest midfield pairing, like, by a long way.
But yeah, I think that's hopefully the way we'll line up, and hopefully we'll be stronger than we have been against them previously. And we need to get a result and find a way of causing them some problems, because in the games that we've played against them, we've not caused them any problems defensively either.
Yeah, sounds good. Dave, any preferences for you?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, it was a surprise to see the team sheet in some ways on Tuesday, that Fofana and Foster were both playing. And then, as you say, the kind of formation we had didn't really match what we're expecting for it to go like. It's certainly not going to be playing those two up front. It's not going to be switching and doing that. You suspect that Asignon is going to come back in. That would be a little difficult to do. But it may be a case of he's just maybe a little bit more cautious up front. I don't know whether that's going to be the case, or whether that's the Vincent Kompany way, whether he's capable of doing that, or whether we say, well, yeah, we're going to go. I mean, we also have four forwards on at one point, didn't we?
At the end of the game, we had all four on, which is just unheard of. I find this new breed of Burnley Football Club just to be incredible. We had one winger or one attacking outlet for about 10 years, and now we just got everybody's on the pitch at all the same time. It's really quite remarkable. Finish off then with a score prediction, please, Adam.
2-1 Burnley.
Yeah, well, I love it. Dave?
It's heart and head. Head says it's probably going to be a draw.
No, ignore your head. What's your heart telling you? Right there, Dave. Where's your heart then?
I'll agree with Adam. I'll go for 2-1.
Yes! 2-1. Look at this. We're blatantly manipulating Dave towards the end of the season. Our behaviour is appalling, Adam. I'm going to say 2-0 to Burnley. I think Everton will struggle to score. I think Murich will have a blinder, and I think the Clouts are going to win. Listeners, drop us your score predictions. You know how to get in touch. You can drop us lines on any of our social media channels, or you can email us at previewshow@knownandever.net. Dave, let's finish off this week's preview show, please, with a look at everybody's favourite feature, and that is the rating of Everton celebrity fans. And my goodness, do you have a corker for us this week?
We've handpicked a selection of 6 famous Everton fans for your consideration. They are, in no particular order, Tony Bellew, former world boxing champion, age 41. He was born in the Toxteth district of Liverpool in 1982 and was taken to his first match by his older brother. He's been a lifelong fan. He retired from boxing in 2018 and now has more time to watch his football. Next is Tommy Fleetwood, professional golfer, age 33. Born in Southport, he's had a distinguished career as an amateur golfer before turning pro in 2010. He's won 10 tournaments and represented Europe in the Ryder Cup on 3 occasions. winning twice. Traveling the world playing golf means he doesn't get to Goodison Park as much as he'd like. But you may recall he's been a half-time guest there for a previous Burnley match. I think he was there back in 2017. Also, his caddy, Ian Finnis, is married to Burnley-born former Everton and England women's goalkeeper, Rachel Finnis-Brown.
Ah, I did not know this. You know? I did not know this.
There you go. Some good, there's some good connections this week. I think I should be having bonus points for connections.
You can have a sticker.
Another one coming up. Next up, John Parrott, former professional snooker player. He was a snooker pro from 1983 to 2010 and is now a snooker commentator and pundit at age 59. His dad took him to Goodison Park at the age of six and he's been a fan ever since. For an extra connection, he's also the brother-in-law of a former Everton striker and caretaker manager. That's because his wife's sister is married to none other than Duncan Ferguson.
Dave, a quick pause there. Are we in danger of some restraining orders this week? Because we've gone way above and beyond what we're supposed to do. I know that I was scolding you a little bit for some very tenuous links. So, oh, my cat's woken up. Hello. I know I've been scolding you for some very tenuous links, but this is getting a bit far now. I feel like we might be in trouble.
Wait for the last one, and then we've got another couple, and then the last one will bring us back into line. So.
We don't earn enough for legal representation, Dave. We just don't. We don't earn anything on the podcast.
Okay, go ahead. Next up is Dame Judi Dench, actress, age 89. Perhaps best known for a role as M in the James Bond film franchise. Dame Judi was born in York, but is a longtime Everton supporter, along with a late husband and also her grandson, Sam. She's also taken her involvement with the club a step further, becoming an honorary patron of its official charity, Everton in the Community.
Yeah.
The slightly younger end of the scale is another actress, Jodie Comer, age 31, was born in Liverpool in 1993, and is probably best known for a portrayal of Villanelle in the BBC drama Killing Eve, which ran for three series between 2018 and 2022. Yeah, I like that as well. Like many others growing up in Liverpool, she could have been a red or a blue. But in her case, she probably didn't have much choice in the matter, as her dad, Jimmy Comer, has been a masseur for Everton Football Club ever since the 1990s.
That's a good
How
list.
Do you like that?
That's a really great list. And I am generally concerned about restraining orders. Go ahead.
The best is still to come.
Is that really? Is there another?
No, that's only five. So the sixth one, this feature wouldn't be what it is without a slight curveball.
Oh, for goodness sake. It was all going so well as well.
This time, it's the turn of 77-year-old actor Sylvester Stallone and his credentials to be dismissed by you, Natalie. He would never claim to be a lifelong blue, but as well as filming at Goodison Park for his Creed film back in 2015, along with Tony Bellew, it was recalled that he'd been to Goodison Park before. Back in 2007, he was paraded on the pitch. He was a friend of club director at that time, Robert Earle. There was even a suggestion that he might invest in the club, even though nothing came of it in the end.
No. No. You're not having that. I'm sorry. So we went from the very first season of Celebrity Fans that no, they had to be still living.
Alive.
They couldn't be animals. They couldn't be chairman. They couldn't be anything. All these ridiculous rules. Then it all went out the window with a walking pie mascot at Wigan. And now we've got basically, if you wanted a ground tour you're a Hollywood actor, then you're suddenly a lifelong fan. I'm not having that. Okay, Adam, let's bring some common sense to proceedings, please. Now, this list was received quite favourably by the Non and Ever panel when we put it to them before the show. Some very strong scores there. Ignoring Sylvester Stallone, who I'm discounting just because it's a nonsense. What did you give? Tell our listeners what you gave score-wise.
So I gave an 8 for this. I thought it was a really good list. Really good sports people on there. A couple of world champions, Bellew and Parrott, I think he won one. And a big fan of Killing Eve as well. So Jodie Comer definitely boosts the score for me.
Judi Dench for me. I went to drama school when I was younger and Judi Dench was literally like God. So she brings everything. I actually went 9 purely because of Judi Dench. So whereabouts were the team known and ever average scores? And Dave, where did we think of in the end? It was all around the 8s, wasn't it?
I think, yeah, we had a 7 and a 9 and then mostly 8s. And I'd go along with that. I'd be looking around 8, I think.
For I'm tempted to give them 9, but I do have to moderate in favour of the masses. So I'm going to say they get an 8. Very strong, solid performance there, Everton fans. Your celebrity fans are impressive. Okay, let's wrap up then. Adam, I don't believe that we have much in terms of a FPL update this week because we're in the middle of a game week, aren't we? So do we have anything to report?
The only thing I've got to report is the March Manager of the Month award. So we've got two joint winners. So Tall Paul, who's done very well in the past.
Friend of mine.
I was going to say, so you can get in touch with him.
I will. I will give him a second.
248 points. And joint top was Cove and Monday, one that I haven't heard of before. But yeah, also scoring 248 points. So...
well done, both of you two. Get in touch. I'm seeing Paul shortly anyway, the next tournament, so I'll give him a sticker then. He's probably won about 12 already, but he's getting another one. Cove, what was he called? Cove?
Amunde.
Cove Amunde. Please do get in touch for your celebratory manager of the month for March sticker. That is all we have time for, listeners. Dave, Dave. Adam, you've let Dave down. He came prepared with a prop. What are we saying ahead of this weekend's game to our listeners?
So the next deadline is Saturday, the 6th of April at 11 a.m. And wishing you all green arrows, as always.
Excellent. Up the Clarets. Tell you, it's getting towards the end of the season, listeners. Fatigue is settling in. It's been a long old season. We're forgetting our scripts. Dave, no community news that we need to pass on? I don't think there is there?
No, I don't think so. Nothing for me to add there, no.
No, the only other thing that we need to add is I know there's been quite a lot of discussions with this week's announcement of the season ticket increases and the prices for next season. Those of you who are not already aware, most of you will be, we have 3 members of Known and Ever on the fan advisory board, myself, George and Charlotte. We were all at the meeting ahead of that announcement and listened to the information brought forward by the club. We're just talking to the club now to see what, if anything, we can pass on to our listeners from that meeting. Obviously, some of it is confidential and is not able to be passed along in terms of much of what we discuss at the FAB, but we do have some things that we can discuss. So I'm just going to have a quick chat with Russell, our fan advisory director, who can tell us what our parameters are. But we are hoping in the next few days to record a season ticket special where George, Charlotte and I just try and answer some of the questions come through from you as to why the season ticket prices have gone up, why there seems to be a difference in percentage increases and what this means for us going forward, and try and pass some of that information along. So do keep an eye out for that. Hopefully we can bring you something. We'll pass it out as a special recording on the podcast. We might even do it via a YouTube live. That might be the easier thing to do. Other than that, we will be back on Tuesday with our analysis show, hopefully talking about an incredibly important win away at Goodison Park and maybe a step closer to an unbelievably great escape. Thank you to my colleagues, Adam and Dave, who've been with us on this previous show, to the rest of the team and producer Matt for all of their input in making this episode possible. We'll be back for the previous show ahead of the next game next week on Friday night as usual. Godspeed to all of our travelling Clarets who are making their way to Everton. I was absolutely delighted for you at that point away at Chelsea. That's the one thing I want for our fans who've travelled across the country in the face of a difficult season and still showed up for our boys. I would love for you to get that win. That would be fantastic. To everybody else, stay safe until next time. I've been Natalie Bromley. This has been the preview show brought to you by the Known and Ever podcast. Until next time. The Known and Ever podcast is brought to you in association with the TalkSport Fan Network. Our host and editor is Natalie Bromley, and the show is produced by Matt Moss. Our resident statistician is Dave Roberts, and our FPL expert is Adam Dennett. The analysis show team is collectively Tom Whittaker, Rich Steele, George Poole, Charlotte Rigby, and Adam Dennett. Our music is provided by George Gaskell, and our newsletter team is headed up by Jamie Smith. If you don't already, you can subscribe to our newsletter by visiting knownandever.substack.com. Thanks as ever go to our partners TalkSport. We are proud to be associated with the TalkSport Fan Network.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.